today I'm going to give you a brief background on quantitative disease resistance and then southern leaf blight, some results from my genome scan, and then I will discuss the development of the near isogenic lines that I use for studying the effects of quantitative disease resistance for southern leaf blight on these NILs, and then draw a few conclusions. Okay, so quantitative disease resistance is primarily the type of resistance that is used in maize, and however, as Dr. Lightfoot already mentioned, very little is known about the physiological or molecular genetic basis of quantitative disease resistance, and so we're very interested in studying this. And we're doing this with the in the southern leaf blight pathogen system, and it is an important foliar fungal necrotrophic pathogen of maize. And southern leaf blight is of primary concern in hot, humid, subtropical and tropical regions such as the southeast U.S., parts of India, Africa, and Western Europe. For my research, most of my research revolves around the two parents, B73 and NC250. As you can see, B73 is a susceptible inbred when infected with SLB in the field. You can see the necrotic lesions on the leaf. Compare that with the resistant NC250 line that was developed at North Carolina State. There are no necrotic lesions. There might be just a few flecking responses. NC250 was developed from 25% tropical germplasm, and it is an elite source of southern leaf blight resistance. And then a lot of the work that I'm working with is with NC292 and NC330. They are B73 NILs that were developed by selecting for southern leaf blight resistance after each cycle of backcrossing. And they are agronomically very similar to B73. However, when challenged with SLB, they have a much higher level of resistance, as you can see. Both of them, both NC292 and NC330, are very resistant compared to B73. As you might be able to tell from the picture, there are some more flecking responses for NC330, and so it's slightly less resistant than NC292. Okay, moving on to the research goals of this project. First, we are interested in determining how NC292 and NC330 are genetically different from B73. We set out to map SLB disease QTL in a B73 by NC250A F23 mapping population, and generated and evaluated BC1 F3 lines with single and multiple NC250 introgressions. And this was done in order to identify the effects of single and multiple NC250 introgressions on SLB resistance. So with these goals in mind, the first thing I did was I set out and performed a genome scan. I screened 533 SSR primer pairs on the two parents, B73, NC250, and then the two sister lines, NC292 and NC330. Of those primer pairs that I screened, 45% were polymorphic. And in this figure, I have the 10 maize chromosomes shown, and the region in white is B73 background. And as you can see, most of the genome is B73, and we would expect that since these are near isogenic lines. However, and then the red rectangles are regions where NC250 introgressions were identified in the genomes of both NC292 and NC330. Green represents introgressions that were present only in NC292 and not NC330. And then brown represents NC250 introgressions present in NC330 and not NC292. I identified 11 different NC250 introgressions throughout the genomes of NC292 and NC330. The black bars above some of the MACE chromosomes represent regions where SLBQTL were identified, and 8 of those were identified, and SLBQTL and NC250 introgressions co-localized on chromosomes 2, here in introgression E, chromosome 3, introgression G, and then chromosomes 9 and 10. And then based on a QTL analysis from several different populations, this introgression G has been identified as a very important in the disease resistance, and this was also confirmed from some of my field experiments this summer, in which this single introgression also contained showed a high level of SLB resistance. So that's one of the areas that we will continue focusing on. Now I will just briefly try and show how we developed the near isogenic lines that were used to evaluate for SLB resistance. So we took either NC292 or NC330 and then crossed it with B73. And then we backcrossed the F1 to B73. And then we selfed the BC1 F1. And at this stage, we used marker-assisted selection to determine which lines carried the NC250 introgressions. And then those were selfed again. And then the BC1 F2 lines were again screened with molecular markers to identify lines that contained NC250 introgressions and that were homozygous for those NC250 introgressions. And then based on molecular data, I chose a set of 253 entries for disease screening of the BC1 F3 near isogenic lines. And as you can see from this table, there are introgressions A, B, and J. I currently do not have single introgression lines for, so I'm currently have those in our winter nursery in Florida, and we'll do some backcrossing to start generating single introgressions in those single introgressions for A, B, and J. However, I selected single introgressions for my field experiment, anywhere from 2 to 13 for the other 8 introgressions, and then I also selected different combinations of doubles, triples, and other multiple introgressions. And I screened these 253 entries in 2 reps at 2 locations, Tifton, Georgia, and Clayton, North Carolina. We inoculated the field with SLB. Here are some pictures that show the effect on SLB resistance. We've got the resistant parent NC292. There are no necrotic lesions and not even any flecking, so it's a relatively disease-free leaf. Contrasted that with a susceptible parent, there are many necrotic lesions on it. And then some of my selected introgressions, I have 6 of them here that are highly resistant, and then I also showed one introgression that is moderately susceptible. However, it's hard to tell from this picture, but it's that this BD introgression is still more resistant than the B73, the susceptible parent. So now, for this figure, I've got The SLB average adjusted AUDP scores, adjusted for days after planting, to 50% pollen shed, using that as a covariate. And then I've averaged the different ratings from the different NILs that contain each of these different introgressions to get an average rating for each single or combination of double or selected introgressions. And as we can see, the single introgressions all have are more resistant than the susceptible B73. The LSD value for this is 0.45, and introgressions C, G, H, I, and K are significantly more resistant than the susceptible B73. Of the single introgressions, introgression G is significantly more resistant than the other single introgressions, and then NC292 is significantly more resistant than any of the single or double introgressions. And here's a close-up of a few of the introgressions from the previous slide. I've got E, G, G, E, and then the two parents listed here. And this introgression G, E is providing more resistance than just the more resistance than the additive effect of E and G. So there's some evidence that there may be some epistatic interaction for this particular for these introgressions. And so in conclusion, we've identified 8 southern leaf-like QTL in a B73 by NC250A F23 mapping population. And we've determined that the NC250 introgressions have significant effects on SLB resistance compared to B73, or at least most of the introgressions have significant effects, and all of the introgressions have some effect of magnitude on SLB resistance. All of the NC250 introgressions have an additive effect on SLB resistance, and then our results show that most, if not all, of the NC250 introgressions that were identified in the genomes of NC292 and NC330 were actually retained due to the selection during their development and not just due to random chance. And that's a pretty important point. And the near isogenic lines with multiple NC250 introgressions, they generally had a higher level of disease resistance than any of the single or doubles. So this is controlled by many genes. As this statement says, the resistance in NC292 and NC330 is likely conditioned by several or many NC250 introgressions. And so just moving on to some further research, like I alluded to earlier, we need to develop single NC250 introgression lines for introgressions A, B, and J. And currently I have some combinations of double introgressions that contain A, B, and J in our winter nursery in Florida, and we'll be doing back crossing to develop single introgression lines for these introgressions. I'm performing a southern leaf-like screening on selected near isogenic lines in the growth chambers, and we are doing this in order to identify a QTL to determine whether the QTL are developmentally specific. We're interested whether or not the resistance is effective on juvenile plants or not. I have no reason not to believe that they will, but we need to do the research to prove that the resistance is not just adult plant specific. And then we will choose a set of lines based on the field and growth chamber studies to evaluate at a microscopic level, and a new graduate student is actually going to has come on board, and I'm going to help select the lines, but she's going to do most of the microscopy. We're interested in determining if we can see where the resistance is stopping the pathogen, and so that's one way to approach that problem. And then finally, I've developed a foundation in order so that we can find map some of these important regions, especially Introgression G is one region that is very dear to my heart right now. And so we will find map, try and find map genes in these regions, and then hopefully with the goal, long-term goal of obviously cloning the resistance gene or genes. I'd like to acknowledge my co-committee chairs, Peter Ballant Crotty and Jim Holland, as well as my other committee members, Gary Payne and Major Goodman, and then everybody else on this list played an integral role in either discussions or some form of statistical analysis or data collection. And then, obviously, without funding, none of this would have been accomplished, so I'd like to recognize my funding sources. At this time, I'd be glad to take any questions.
Yes.
I was wondering, do you have some information on the genetic background of MT250?
Oh, absolutely. It is a cross between a Nigerian composite ARB, and it was crossed with B37 and then back crossed to B37. That's exactly how, that's the pedigree of NC250.
And the resistance genes are from the Nigerian background?
One would think, but I don't 100% have all that information. Actually, I have some information that says that potentially some of them came from B37. But actually, I have some information from Pioneer, and I'm going to look at that and see if I can determine where each of the introgressions came from. But due to lack of time, and also I haven't processed all that information, I didn't want to get bogged down with those details. But I'd love to talk about that more if you would like.
In terms of adjusting your disease resistance ratings to developmental stage, it's a common observation that that's necessary. But in your situation, which is resistant? A short period between pollination, germination, and pollen set, or a long one? So you're adjusting your AUDPC to 50% of the time between germination and pollen set, right?
Oh, that
who's resistant? The early or the late?
Oh, well, that's why we adjust for maturity. So hopefully. That's a good point. You do not want to be calling just late maturing things resistant, and so we did that adjustment, and our data shows that our adjustment with our covariate had a very small effect. So most of what we are seeing is truly due to resistance and not maturity differences, which is very crucial, because if you're working on disease resistance, you don't want to be working on maturity and not disease resistance. Yes, sir.
So I'm curious, if you're looking for quantitative resistance, do you think that this resistance or the integration with the Harrison resistance might be also effective against other pollinators?
The question is whether or not these resistance genes will be effective against multiple disease resistance. Currently, we are studying that. We have some very preliminary information that shows that yes, that is potentially a case, especially with introgression E seems to be potentially one of importance in that. But that's going to require additional research and that slightly beyond the scope of this project, but something that we are long-term very interested in and are poised to do that research. Thank you very much.